Welcome to the I Am Indie podcast, where you will learn how to monetize, market and build your brand as an indie artist, content creator, or business in the 21st century. Now, here's your host, Rod Hub.
Hey, what up? What's happening, everybody? This is Rod Hub. I want to welcome you to the second episode of the I Am Indie podcast. Hey, first of all, I just want to thank you guys for your support of the first episode. If you have not heard the first episode, you can definitely check it out on Podomatic.com or iTunes.com and just type in Rod Hubbard. And again, go to Podomatic.com, Podomatic.com, or go to iTunes and just type in Rod Hubbard, and the I Am Indie podcast will pop up. But guys, you know, I'm in this for the long haul. I understand that this is a marathon and not a sprint. However, this is all about independent artists, independent content creators, and independent businesses learning how to grow in today's market. And I'm telling you guys, it's not I'm not going to come to you and tell you that it's easy, but it's not as hard as we think it is. And as I talked about last week, your ability to leverage your relationships will determine your success in today's business world. And if you don't have relationships with not only with people who can help you and help, you know, put you on a catalyst to where you want to be, but you really have to have those key relationships with the people you want to target and the people you want to support what you do. And I'm telling you guys, it's not about reaching a mass of people. Of course, that's what we all want to do. We all want to reach millions and millions, tens of millions of people. However, it's about being hyper-focused on and hyper-marketing a group of people who you believe you can help directly and right away. So this is the New Year's Eve version of the I Am Indie podcast. So I want to tell you guys, I want to be one of the first to tell you Happy New Year. And what we're going to do, man, we're going to get this going today. We're going to cover a few things this week. And we're going to talk about your why. Why are you doing this? You know, we're going to talk about where do you begin? Because, again, a lot of people, especially in the music business, don't know where to begin. You know, you think you can just start recording music and putting it out there. And there's definitely steps to it. There's levels to it. And then the last thing we want to talk about is what do we do next? You know, okay, how do I start? But then what do I do after I start? So I'm telling you guys, this is going to be a great, informative episode. I want you to contact all your friends, everybody you know who's trying to approach this music business, even people you know who have record deals. Because let me tell you about people who have record deals. I know a lot of people who have record deals. And unfortunately, they leave it up to their label to get people for you. And let me tell you a quote I read or that I got from a friend of mine, Rick Barker, who he's the man in Nashville. He managed Taylor Swift at the beginning of her career. And a lot of these principles that I talk about, I learned from him. And he told me, he said, Rod, if you can translate these things to your world, to the urban world, to gospel, to R&B, to the hip hop world, to the pop world, he said, man, it'll really help a lot of people. But he said to me, he said, you don't get fans because you have a record deal. But today you get record deals because you have fans. So again, don't think just because you have a record deal, you will get fans. That's not how it is today. It's really vice versa. In order to get a record deal, you have to have fans. You have to have a core group of fans, because labels nowadays are looking for people who don't want them or who don't need them. Like Chance the Rapper, man, who's killing the indie game right now. Man, he's getting, you know, five figures a show. He just did Saturday Night Live. You know, he's selling out arenas. And he could care less about a record label. Like, he doesn't want them, but they're knocking his door down. It's like banks. You know, banks don't really want to loan money to people who really need it. You know, they really want to loan it to people who could do without it, because they want to know they can get their investment back, you know, right away with interest. So these are some principles, man, I want to teach you guys to kind of position you to, if a record deal is what you desire, I want to position you to do that. All right. And if it's not what you desire, that's fine, too, because my goal is to help you understand that the record company is an option. You know, I want you to transform your thinking as it pertains to record deals and, you know, endorsement deals and things like that. I want you to look at it as an option, not a necessity. And, you know, we were in a time where in order for your music to be distributed worldwide and, you know, impact a lot of people, you had to have a major record deal. And that is not the case anymore, guys. It is a new day. The internet has made a way for everybody to be seen and heard whenever and wherever they want to. All right, and I just want to segue into why we do this. Now, as artists, as business people, content creators, you have to always fall back on your why, because you will have times when things are difficult. You know, whether you're trying to pay the bills, you're trying to work a job, work a 9-to-5, and still live your dream. Peter Daniel said something that, you know, that I'll never forget. He says, "What do you do when you begin when your dreams begin to fade?" You have to reach for one more dream. And at the end of the day, you have to know why you're doing what you're doing. So I want you to let me know what your whys are. You know, as you go to Podomatic or iTunes and make comments, go ahead and let me know why you do this. But what I'll do, I'll let you know why I do it, okay? As I told you guys in the first episode, I was a consultant for a lot of major artists and major labels, not artists necessarily, but the labels. And again, my job was to filter talent for A&Rs and kind of introduce them to new acts and new possibilities and things of that nature. And the reason why I did it, because I felt it was an opportunity for me to help a lot of my friends and people who just gravitated to me, who were very talented. And, you know, it was a way for me to help. But when I understood that there was really not a need for that, when I can really just help artists and creators and now businesses kind of grow slowly they're a base, because understand, if you grow it slowly, that's a chance for you to make a bigger impact and you can build lasting relationships, lifelong relationships. So my why for doing this was to, again, help and create a market, you know, create a market for myself. You know, you're in business, you always want to put yourself in a position to where you can always provide a service. And for me, I knew that independent artists are born every minute. So I knew I would never run out, and I knew I would always have an opportunity to serve. See, and I understood that my focus has to be the people. My focus is not getting rich. It's not being on platforms. No, those are goals. You know, I definitely want to, my goal is to do a TED Talk. My goal is to do Midim and some of the biggest festivals out there, Revolt. But my why is because I want to help people. I want to see people grow. You know, I want to see people be able to take care of their families, getting up, doing music every day. You know why? Because that's a desire I have for myself, and I still have. I desire to be able to get up and do this every day and be able to take care of my family and secure generational wealth and take care of my kids' college when it's time for that. You know, that's why we do this, guys. And what you need to do is whenever you hit that wall and it seems like it's not going to work out or you're discouraged, you have to remember what your whys are. So this is what I want you guys to do this week. I want you to write down 10 reasons why you want to do what you want to do. Whether it's being an artist, whether you're a graphic designer, where you're starting a business, I don't care what it is. Write down the 10 reasons why. And I guarantee you guys, when those hard times come and you look back on that list, if that doesn't get you up, I don't know what will. Eric Thomas is one of the best motivational speakers in the world, who I listen to almost on a daily basis. He reminded us of a quote that Emmitt Smith says, and he says, Emmitt Smith said that all men are created equal, but some just work harder in preseason. Again, all men are created equal, but some just work harder in preseason. And what that means is, before you get to where you want to be, you got to put the work in. You got to make the commitment that you're going to put the work in regardless of the results. Another thing I heard, guys, when Russell Simmons started Fat Farm. Russell didn't make money on Fat Farm for 10 years. He didn't make it for 10 years. But you know why he started Fat Farm? Because he was tired of clothing lines like Brooks Brothers and, you know, Calvin Klein and all those guys making clothes, but not necessarily for black people, but black people were buying those clothes. you know, and you know, we were rapping them proudly, you know, in the videos, hip hop, you know, all that stuff. But those designers were not making those clothes for us. So Russell said, you know what, man, I'm going to create something for us. You know, before FUBU, for all of them, Fat Russell said he's going to do it. He was one of the first ones to do it. I believe he was before FUBU. If I'm wrong, you know, let me know. But Russell went 10 years and didn't make a dime. You know, he was really financing Fat Farm with his Def Jam money. Now, people say, well, he was rich, but still, it's at the same time. You know, 10 years, guys, it would have, because he was rich, it would have been so quick or easy for most of us to say, you know what, man, I don't really have to do this. I don't really have to fight this fight. I got it. You know, Def Jam is enough. But he said he knew why he wanted to do it. And his brother, Reverend Run, said one thing he learned from Russell, he saw Russell for 10 years, put that work in, and he just did the work, and he didn't worry about the results. He didn't worry about the results. He just did the work. He operated in the principles. And one of my mentors, he says all the time, he says, you have to live a principle life. And you have to live, you just got to do the work. And don't worry about the results. The results are God's. The work is ours. You know, the process is ours, but the results are God. Let God handle the results. So, again, guys, I just want to encourage you while you're in the process of building this and working this and trying to do this, and we just got to remember what our why is and focus on that and let God handle everything else, all right? Operating the principles, do right by people, be integral in your business, and, you know, the rest will come. I believe that. So that handles that part. But then, like I told you guys last week, a lot of artists do not know how to start this thing. Like, okay, do I just get in the studio? What do I do? No, guys, the first thing you need to do is build yourself a business, all right? Corporations and LLCs are not limited to the skyscrapers that you see downtown or to the department stores that you see walking through the hood or whatever. What makes you a corporation or a business is a piece of paper. And it's as simple nowadays, you know, you used to have to go downtown and to City Hall and get all this stuff done, which I guess you can still do. But right now, guys, you got the internet. Google it. Google LLC, Google C Corps and all that stuff. Decide what it is you want to do, what type of business you want to have. I personally prefer LLCs for my businesses, because what LLCs does, it separates your personal assets from your business. So that way, heaven forbid, if you run into some type of issue with your business, whether it be tax or whatever, your personal assets are not liable. That's why it's called limited liability company or corporation. It's, you know, it keeps your money separate, your business and your home life separate. So for me, LLCs are best for me. But guys, you got to do that. Start there. Like Jay-Z said, I told you, Jay-Z said, hey, I'm not a businessman. I'm a businessman. You know what I'm saying? It's like, you know, he's a business. He's not just a businessman, but he's a corporation. You know, like Jay-Z now, he's an idea. You know, he's a lifestyle right now, you know, because of what he's built. But it all started, I bet you somebody took him by the hand and say, hey, you know what, let's start with LLCs. Let's do that. Then another thing you guys need to do is trademark your name. Like Jay-Z, you know, nobody else can come up and call themselves Jay-Z, you know, because you'll get sued and it won't even last. So that what it does, it protects your name. So even at this level, at the beginning stages, I would recommend even before you go into a studio that you get your LLCs, you get your trademark, you know, get a logo, trademark that logo, trademark that name. And that's what you want to do. Get a bank account. You know, that way when you're doing shows and you're in positions where you can get paid, people are writing checks to your brand. All right. They're not writing checks to you personally. They're writing checks to your brand. So that's another thing that you want to do. If you're an artist, if you're in music, performance rights organizations, BMI, CSAC, ASCAP. I'm sure it's another one out there. I think it's a new one that's popping up. However, one is not better than the other. They all do the same thing. I preferred ASCAP at the time because they had an office in Chicago. All right. And, you know, it all depends on who you want to be associated with. You know, some of the greatest artists in the world are with ASCAP, some are with BMI. They all do the same thing. Okay. Whoever has to, for me, I like to lean towards the people who have the best customer service, people who I can get access to. So, you know, just ask your friends, do some research, pick the best performance rights organization that's for you. And again, this is important because if you do get radio play, you want to be in a position to where that music and that money can come into you. So if you're on the radio and you're not signed with ASCAP or BMI, there's no way possible that you can get paid because your music is being played on BDS radio stations. That's their job, is to track it, see if it's being played on radio, see if it's being played in the clubs. You know, they license your music, you know, even if it's on TV, whatever. This is how you collect. Now, here's a new player in the game called Sound Exchange. Again, Sound Exchange, spell the word out, .com. They are the performance rights organizations for the internet. So their job is to track and find out how much your music is being played on the internet. Okay, so soundexchange.com, that's the new player in the game. I even believe people are even getting paid on Sound Exchange even if they didn't write a song. Like if you sung on a song, you can get royalties from that. You know, I actually know a person people who are doing that, who are getting paid because their likeness was on a record. So these are the players in the games, guys, that you have to know about and you have to be educated on if you want to do business, or music business especially, in this 21st century. All right? So those are the steps. It starts with the paperwork. Get your LLC or your C-Corp or whatever it is. You know, get that paperwork done. Get your music trademark. Oh, no, excuse me. Your brand, your name, trademark. That way it protects the name. All right? You want to protect your name. You don't want anyone else. You don't want to get to a point to where your business is pulling up or is getting traction and you're building momentum in your business and now somebody comes up with the same name you have. Now you can't use it. Now you have to use another name. I mean, that's devastating. You know, I mean, think about it. You guys, if you're wrestling fans in the early 2000s, you know, we knew the WWF as the World Wrestling Federation our whole lives, coming up as kids in the 80s and the 90s. But at the height of their time, they're a $1 billion corporation at this point. And WWF, World Wildlife Foundation, they come up and say, hey, you guys can't use WWF anymore. That's our name. We, you know, whatever the process is, I don't know if they trademarked it or what, but something came up to where they could no longer use WWF because of the World Wildlife Foundation or whatever the name is. They couldn't use it anymore. So in the height of a $1 billion, you know, this is when they had the Rock, Stone Cold, you know, this is at the height of the industry or at the height of their business. And they had to change their name from World Wrestling Federation to the World Wrestling Entertainment. Now, did it really hurt them? No, because they built a strong enough brand to where, you know, it really didn't matter. Like, we didn't care if it was WWF or WWE. But you don't have the luxury of doing that. You have to secure that name right away. So I'm telling you guys, even if you're using your personal name, like, still trademark that name. That way, if someone has the same name as you, they can't just use their regular name. They have to use something else. So protect yourselves at all times, guys, when it comes to your business. All right? Now, after you've done that, now you want to know, what do I do next? Because, you know, you hear me talk about, and anybody who knows me, and if you'll get to know me over time, I'm really hell-bent on building fan bases. Social media, through social media and all type of outlets. And a lot of people, you know, they hear that and they say, okay, that's cool, but how do I begin? So here's just some tips, all right? And these are not original, but people are doing this. But this may be new to a lot of you. So I'll break it down in genres. I'll break it down in two genres. Well, not even two genres necessarily, but two types of artists. So this is for the singer, musician, and I have another teaching for the hip-hop artist, okay? So let's just say if you're a singer, and this is really great if you play as well. If you can play guitar or piano, this really works for you. The best thing to do, guys, I would not recommend that you go to the studio and start making records right away, all right? And I'm going to tell you why. The reason why is because studios can be expensive. Even making a song can be expensive. If you make a song the right way, Like, I mean, you go to a quality studio, you use quality engineers, and, you know, things like that. It's going to cost you anywhere from $3,000 to $5,000 to do a quality single. And I mean, if you're going to do it the right way, like the way an independent label would do it. I'm not talking even major, because with majors, it can even cost double or sometimes three times that. All right. But for a 4 minute song, 4.5 minute song, you're coming out anywhere between $3,000 and $5,000. Okay. Now, you didn't do this just to give it away for free. You doing this in hopes to monetize on that money and make that money back. However, it is impossible to do that when you don't have a fan base. So the first thing that you don't do is going to the studio. But the first thing that I would do, if I'm a singer, songwriter, singer who plays guitar or piano, I would use opportunities like Christmas or New Year's and have like little house concerts. You know, you're at your aunt's house. Okay, you know 30, 35 people are going to be there. And say, hey, aunt, can I take 30 minutes and sit in the middle of the living room with my guitar and sing a few of my songs? I'm sure they wouldn't have a problem with that. They know what you're trying to do. And what you would do, you would sit in that living room with your guitar or on the piano, and or if you don't play, you have a friend who plays, sing some songs, and right next to you, you're not asking for money. Now, if they want to donate, that's great towards what you're trying to do. But the main thing that you want them to do is write their name, their phone number, their birth date, and their social media information on that sheet of paper. That's money in the bank, guys. That's better than their $5 or $10 that they would donate to you. Now, if they do that, that's great. Let them do it. However, you want that data, because remember, last week we talked about owning the data, and in coming weeks, we'll talk about how to use that and put that in a funnel and things like that. But that's how you want to start off. You want to start off doing house concerts. And I'm talking about 3 to 5 songs, you know, just acoustic versions of not only your songs, but of songs that are popular. Like, if I'm an artist and I'm a singer, I'm looking at the top 40 every Monday. I'm looking at every Monday, I would get a copy of the top 40 list and do covers on my version of those songs. And not only are you doing these at homes, you build a YouTube channel and do the popular song of the week or whatever the top 40 is. Pick your top 5 songs and do them. And, you know, you put the title in. And, you know, that's how you'll gain followers, and that's how you'll gain fans. And the best way to do this, guys, online will happen. But if you have an offline aspect, if you have an offline campaign in place, this is really going to help you build the fans who are willing to pay for it, what you're doing. Like, this is how the diehards are built. You know, you can, especially in the summertime, man, people are having barbecues all the time, all of the time. And you could, man, just talk to your friends and say, hey, whenever you're invited to a barbecue, take an opportunity to perform. Every opportunity should be an opportunity for you to perform. I believe when you're in obscurity, you cannot afford to be in a room and leave that room without people not knowing what you do. If you're in obscurity and you're trying to get somewhere and you're trying to build something, every place you go, by the time you leave that place, everybody in that room should know what you do. And I'm telling you, this is how you do it, guys. You go to the house. This is the easiest way to do it. It doesn't cost you anything. It's free. And you do this with family and friends who know what you're trying to do, and they will support you. You know what I'm saying? So this is how you do it. This is the best way to start. And then again, YouTube is your friend. So now you're doing covers. This is what I'm saying. Do covers. And that way you build a base. You do open mics. Build a base. You get tips here and there. Do some bar mitzvahs, church services, whatever. Wherever you perform, make sure you're leaving with those names. All right? Now, here's another thing. Well, how do I pay for it? Well, how do I pay for studio time when it's time? You got to have a job, guys. I mean, it's really counterproductive to be an independent artist and don't have a job. Because at the end of the day, you're your business. You're your major label. So that means you finance it. You have to finance everything you do, unless you're going to find an investor well, your parents are down with you like that, where they'll finance that stuff. But even with that, I think it's best for you to find somewhere where you can work part-time, full-time, and, you know, be in a situation, whether you're living at home, where you can save your money and use it towards studio time. Build relationships with studios or producers or whatever, you know, who will give you a break on some things and, you know, help you out. I mean, there's a lot of things out here now, guys, where you can get, a lot of people out here are mixing songs for $25. And for what you're trying to do at this point, that's okay. All right? So don't shun that, because you're at the ground level right now. You just want something that's serviceable. And even you can use stuff like GarageBand to do things on your own to, you know, put some type of light mix on it. Now, if you're a rapper, you know, of course, it's not as easy for you to, you know, sit down and go to someone's house and play a guitar, because a lot of rappers don't play instruments, and that's fine. So what you would do, guys, you would probably still need a studio. But a lot of rappers, believe it or not, already have relationships with studios. That's why they're in there all the time. You know, it's nothing for them to get some studio time for $35, you know, get 12 hours for $35. You know, when I was managing a studio, I used to hear that all the time. Hey, man, I can get, for $100, I can get 12 hours of studio time. Well, okay, well, do it. Do that. Do what you got to do. But even if you're a rapper, I recommend before you go paying for beats and all that stuff, you know, do mixtapes. You know, now mixtapes are not what they used to be. It doesn't create the audience it used to, just strictly off mixtape. You know, I think Drake kind of solidified the whole mixtape movement with his mixtape was better than a lot of people's records. You know, and I think after Drake kind of did his thing, you know, it was just like, you know, he kind of killed it. You know, he ignited it, but he killed it at the same time, because it's like people, that's the new standard for the mixtape. Like now your mixtape got to be like an album now, like Chance the Rapper. You know, I don't even think he charges for his music now. You know, the last mixtape I think he did was Acid Rap. I mean, I might be wrong, but that's the one, last one I have. And that was really more like an album. You know, he had features on there and everything. But Chance was, you know, Chance is in a whole other league right now. But if you're trying to just build it up, man, you know what? Use some samples, do some, you know, rap over some beats, some popular beats, do your version of it, and hit open mics, hit poetry slams. You know, you really have to hit the pavement if you're a rapper. You know, of course you're going to use YouTube and things like that. But my whole point is, guys, don't invest thousands of dollars up front when you don't have a fan base. And I'm going to tell you why. I'm going to tell you why country music and most pop music sell over hip hop and R&B. And I'm going to tell you this. Country, and I know this firsthand because I know guys who work in that world and who master this. All right. And they do the house concerts. They do the birthday parties. You know, they're not so much paying. They're not paying to do shows and things like that, like we do in hip hop and R&B. But what they do, they build the fan base and then they record the record. So they build the fan base through the covers and doing their versions of songs and things like that, open mics. And then, okay, and maybe they get donations or they have an uncle or somebody who will finance them or whatever. But by this time, by the time they go in the studio, they know they got a good 500, 300 to 500, 600, 700 people on their email list who more than likely buy it. You know, who they've taken the time and nurtured a relationship. Then they hit the studio and do maybe an EP with 3 or 5 songs. Cost them maybe 7-8 grand to do it. But by that time, you have 600, maybe 700 people on your list. Maybe you'll get 250 of those people, 200 of those people to support it, or maybe even 150 people who will support it. If you got 100 people or 150 people who are willing to pay $9.99 for that record or that EP, you made your money back. You know, you made your money back plus some interest. So they've built the audience, then they put the music out. So what you have to do, you have to build a demand and then make the record. Now, on the flip side of that, what we do in the urban world, we make the record, and then we try to gather the audience. So there's not really a demand for it, and we make it, and then we spend the time trying to get people to know who we are, and then, you know, hoping people buy it. So in the interim, you waste You wasted $6,000, $7,000, $8,000, $9,000, $10,000 on doing this whole album because you don't have fans. Now, by the time people are starting to bite on it, you're bored with the album because now you want to do some new stuff. So now you want to forget that and do something brand new. Now you're going to do the same thing because there's not a demand for the second album yet because you still haven't built traction from the first one. So now we're doing the same thing over and over again, and now we get frustrated and we want to quit and we want to do something else. It's all because, guys, we haven't done the first step in building the base. So do the house concerts. Do the open mics. Don't worry about paid shows yet. If you can get them, that's great. But definitely don't pay to do shows. Like, that's not what you should be doing right now. Next week, we're going to talk about what to pay for and what not to pay for. I actually did this on my 60 videos in 60 days when I was doing that. And that was really, I think, maybe my most popular video. So I'm going to talk about the things that you do pay for and the things that you should not be paying for next week. And I'm telling you, you're going to be surprised by a lot of this. But I'm telling you guys, right now, your focus should be on germinating that fan base. And again, it's really grassroots stuff. It's not guerrilla marketing. It's not spamming your friends and all that stuff on Facebook. I really believe that the first steps start outside of the internet. And then what you do, you use the internet to let the people who you capture do the work for you. So if I've built a list of 50 people from my live situations at homes or wherever, I can contact those 50 people via email or text or whatever and ask them, hey, can you share this cover with your friends? So let them endorse you. Then that way you're not spamming them. Like, spamming, guys, is irritating. Don't do that. Don't spam your friends' social media pages and all that stuff. That's gonna really get you not where you want to be. So I hope this information was helpful for you today. I want to encourage you guys, man, just to keep going. Do not give up. This is a process. This is a marathon. I think if you take a good 6 to 12 months and build this, you'll be okay. So this is Rod Hub. I'll see you guys next week.
Thanks for listening to the I Am Indie podcast. We'll talk to you next week.